Well, I suggested that the mask, the giraffe mask, reminds us of hypocrites, people who pretend to be something that they're not. And people often ask, don't they, isn't the church full of hypocrites? Isn't the church full of hypocrites? As we read through Luke's biography of Jesus, we remember that Jesus is on a journey to Jerusalem. We can imagine him walking or on a donkey, and as he goes, he's teaching his followers. Now, his journey of teaching begins and ends with a question. We've seen this before. In chapters 10, verse 25, and chapter 18, verse 18, the same question comes. What must I do to get eternal life? To live with God, now and forever. What must I do to get eternal life? And in today's passage, Jesus shows what is not the way to get eternal life. Hypocrisy is not the way. Dive into the scene with me, would you? Verse 37. Verse 37, when Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. A Pharisee. We like to think of Pharisees as kind of pantomime villains, don't we? Like Punch, as in Judy, or like Darth Vader, or like Scar from The Lion King. We boo and hiss. But back then we'd have cheered, because the Pharisees were the most perfect people. More like, I suppose, that maybe that missionary that we imagine to be so perfect. They tried extremely hard to obey God's rules. God's rules in the old part of the Bible we called the Old Testament. They tried so hard. Here, a Pharisee invites Jesus to dinner. And as they used to relax on the sofas to eat their meal, the Pharisee looks red with shock, perhaps, because Jesus hasn't washed his hands before the meal. I don't know about you, when I was a boy, I was supposed to wash my hands before meals. And that made sense after playing in the mud. But in the first century, it wasn't just to stop them from getting sick. Mark's biography of Jesus tells us that this was a ceremonial tradition. Mark chapter 7 verse 3. That they'd wash their hands. They'd even take the pots and pans from the cupboard and wash them. It was a rule, but it wasn't from the Bible. And yet, as Jesus dips his pita bread maybe into the stew, he warns the Pharisees, you're living as hypocrites. Let's see that. Verse 39. Have a look with me, would you? Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. So imagine you're doing the washing up. You've got a saucepan, you scrub the outside under the tap till it's shining. But inside is still yucky baked beans as you put it on the draining rack. The Pharisees, Jesus says, are like that saucepan, hypocrites, pretending to be brilliant, but inside they're dirty, greedy, and wicked. See, God cares about everything he made, even our deepest hearts. And however much we try to look good from our hearts, something will burst forth, won't it? Jesus teaches elsewhere, kindness or selfishness. And so Jesus says in verse 41, quite literally, give what's inside to the poor. Now, translators aren't quite sure exactly what he meant by that. Did he mean give the food inside of the dish to the poor? Or did he mean share your hearts with the poor? Now, either translation could be right. And in fact, it's two sides of the same coin. You give the food because you're sharing your heart with the poor. The Pharisees look good, but they're pretending, they're not real. They're hypocrites. Isn't the church full of hypocrites, people say? And we know all too painfully that there is plenty of hypocrisy in churches today. And yet for every finger I point out there, I find 10 fingers pointing back at me. Jesus says two things this morning. First, Jesus says the Pharisees are hypocrites in how they behave. Hypocrites in how they behave. Verses 42 to 44. Let's jump in to verse 42 with you. Jesus said, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." Woe to you, Jesus says. Woe, it means how miserable you are. It's a warning with tears. Woe. The Pharisees are hypocrites in how they behave. And Jesus sees the essence of their hypocrisy. They look good, but there's no love. Verse 42. Let's see together. Verse 42. "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God." In the Old Testament, God told his people, didn't he, to set aside one-tenth of everything from their farms to give to God. And Jesus agrees. He shouldn't leave that undone, he says. But the Pharisees took it to the extreme. Maybe at home you grow some herbs in a pot, some mint or parsley or basil. And imagine a Pharisee picks a few leaves of mint for their sauce, for their roast. And as he does so, he just pops one leaf on a saucer. It's for God. Now, hypocrites like that look very good, don't they? But there's no love. They're not kind or fair to other people. Then what use is that? They claim to know God, but they don't show God's love. It's terribly real. They look good, but there's no love. As Christians, we often sort out first the obviously wrong things that we do. We don't swear. We give the right answers in Bible study. But the challenge is, are we changing on the inside to love God, to serve others? It applies to all of us, doesn't it? Boys and girls, you're very well behaved this morning. I'm very impressed. Thank you so much. And I guess you're pretty good and you try to do what you're told. But if you're anything like me, we're not always kind to our brothers and sisters, are we? Or to our friends. We're not always kind. Adults, many of you are loving, so loving, all that I know here. And I guess we've learned some social skills, how to be charming. But I wonder if in private, sometimes our love for others is marred by lust or by anger. The essence of hypocritical behavior. It's to look good, but not love. Well, how can we know if that's us? The evidence is that hypocrites love to look good. Verse 43, hypocrites love to look good. "Woe to you, Pharisees," Jesus says, "because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces." Imagine the Pharisee walks into church and someone says, "Welcome, noble Pharisee. Come to the front. We've got first-class seats for you. Sofas, in fact, for the Pharisees." Or bowing in the street, "Pharisee, you're the best." The Pharisees love to look good. I wonder if there's a bit of that in us. A little bit proud to do something up front at church or in the Sunday school. We remind people how much we've been doing. Or we feel proud that actually we've served in secret. It's the evidence of hypocrites in how they behave. They love to look good. But what's wrong with that? Because the effect is that hypocrites make more hypocrites. Jesus says, let's see it in verse 44. "Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it." The effect is they make more hypocrites. In those days, if you walked over a grave, that would have made you ritually unclean, okay, ceremonially unclean. And so they'd paint the graves white to warn people not to touch them. But shockingly, Jesus says the Pharisees are like unmarked graves. Just grassy mounds. You might sit on them for a picnic. People spend time with the Pharisees, and people copy them. They don't realize they're copying a hypocrite, and it rubs off. Hypocrites make more hypocrites. Well, how can I get eternal life? Not by copying the Pharisees. The Pharisees are like graves full of death. In Luke 21, Jesus promises to come again and judge the earth. He says then people will faint from terror because God will judge their secrets, Romans 2:16. Have pity on hypocrites. How can we get eternal life? We need the one person in the world who is not a hypocrite at all. We need Jesus, who said, forgive your enemies, and that's exactly what he did on the cross. We need Jesus to make us clean, not dirty in God's sight. Jesus who died to take our punishment so we can rise from unmarked graves and live with God forever. Let's ask God to forgive us where we've been hypocrites. And he will freely do that. So Jesus says the Pharisees are hypocrites in how they behave. But at dinner, relaxing on the sofa, maybe with a bunch of grapes in their hand, there's a group of experts in the law. That means experts in the Bible. Some of them would have been Pharisees too. And listen to one expert getting upset, verse 45. One of the experts in the law answered Jesus, teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also. Maybe we're wondering this morning, is this really for me? Am I really that bad? I might have been a hypocrite once, but now I'm a keen Christian. I teach the children, the teenagers, at home or in church. I lead that Bible study group. I'm the one who asks how other people are doing. I go on missions. I help with the Christian Union. I'm a deacon, an elder. I'm the preacher. But Jesus warns us all. If the Pharisees are hypocrites in how they behave, secondly and more briefly, the experts in the law, they're hypocrites in how they teach. In verse 45, 252, hypocrites in how they teach. Come with me to verse 46. Jesus replied, and you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. The experts are hypocrites in how they teach. The essence of their hypocrisy is that they teach rules, but not relationship. Verse 46 we see together. Jesus replied, And you experts in the law, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Imagine a young lady walking along the street. She's putting a small suitcase with her. As we watch, a man comes along with a bigger suitcase and gives it to her to carry as well. He comes back again, this time with a big rucksack, and puts it on her back. He keeps coming back with more bags for her to carry until the poor young lady collapses in a heap. That's what the Bible experts were doing. Apparently, these experts in the law called scribes, they made up hundreds of extra rules to try to stop people getting close to disobeying the Bible. For example, the Old Testament said, keep Saturday special as a day of rest for God. But the experts dreamed up 39 different things you weren't allowed to do on a Saturday. And they called their traditions as important as the Bible. Check Mark 7:5 later. But they're hypocrites in how they teach, because they teach rules and not relationship. course, the Bible does teach us how to live. But it's how to live only in a relationship of forgiveness through Jesus. Imagine a big brother. He spends all day telling off his little sister. Don't do this. Don't do that. But the big brother doesn't relate very well with his mum. He forgets to say sorry or thank you or please to her. Rules, but not a relationship. Hypocrites in how they teach. Now, I fear that I may be guilty of that sometimes too. I think I am. I wonder if you are too. Do we sometimes teach rules but not a relationship? If we're fortunate enough to be parents, how do we teach our children? Is it our priority to teach good manners? Or are we praying to model Jesus in a relationship of obedience and forgiveness? If we teach the Bible in a small or larger group, do we resort in frustration to beating the sheep week after week? Occasionally, we all need a telling off, don't we? But do we ask God to apply the Bible text simply to our hearts? And do we model a relationship of repentance and faith? Maybe we're not teachers in any sense we can think of, but actually there is someone we'd love to tell off. And maybe they don't seem to know how we do things here, or something like that. No. Instead, let's encourage them in their relationship with the Lord Jesus. Jesus said the experts in the law were hypocrites in how they teach. The essence is they teach rules, but not relationship. But how can we know if we're like that? The evidence, Jesus says, is that hypocrites love their heroes to be dead. Come with me to verse 47. Woe to you because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill, and others they will persecute. Therefore this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. The evidence that the experts are hypocrites is that they love their heroes to be dead. They pretend to respect the prophets whom their ancestors killed. They build magnificent tombs over the martyrs' graves. You can imagine them perhaps on a tall ladder with a paintbrush painting beautifully these tombs. But it's like they're paying off their family guilt. Maybe we wonder, isn't Jesus being a bit harsh on these experts here? Wasn't it rather nice of them to build nice tombs for the prophets? How can Jesus hold them responsible for the death of every martyr in history? From verse 51, from A to Z, from Abel at the start of the Bible, through to Zechariah at the end of the Old Testament, if that's who he means. Isn't Jesus being a bit harsh? Well, actually, no. See, Jesus is living proof that the experts love their heroes to be dead. Jesus stands before them as the greatest prophet, the Son of God, the one who sent the prophets. And later in Luke's Gospel, these experts will send Jesus to his death. Chapter 23, verse 1. They will condemn themselves. I wonder if there's a part of us that loves our heroes to be dead. Many Christians love to line up on the bookshelves. All those Christian books, those great preachers and authors of history. Or maybe it's a living author or preacher, but they're far away, and actually it's quite easy to idolise them. The crunch comes when someone challenges us with what the Bible says here and now. Will we listen to God's living word, or will we try and kill it off? Jesus says the experts are hypocrites in how they teach. The evidence is they love their heroes to be dead, and they don't submit to God's word. But why is that such a problem? Because the effect, finally, is that they lock people out of the Bible. They lock people out of the Bible. Verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. The experts in the law were supposed to teach people what the Old Testament said. But they spent most of their time teaching their traditions and their rules. Picture a giant Bible, okay, 6 feet tall, looking like a closed door. You can see the light streaming out of the keyhole. And the experts ought to unlock it and to welcome people through the Bible's message into eternal life. But no, they closed the Bible and threw away the key. They lock people out of the Bible. Why do so few Brits trust and follow Jesus? Well, partly because they think that Christianity is only about being good, and they know they can't. How did they get that wrong idea? Surely because of hypocritical teaching that locks people out of the Bible. How easy it is for me to point to a speck in someone else's eye and ignore the plank in my own. Please pray that we here won't be hypocritical in how we teach. And pray for us all as a church that we would open that Bible door to ordinary people. These days, they probably won't walk off the streets into our services, many of them. We need to go to them. It's easy to leave it to someone else. Perhaps you're not sure how you can serve in the church. There's various ways. And one way is to spend time outside in the community. When I came here, Spencer asked me to guard at least one evening a week to spend out there, to get to know people out there. Let's love people and pray for chances to speak about Jesus with an open Bible. Well, as we close, isn't the church full of hypocrites? Maybe. But the bigger question is, am I a hypocrite? And as we're convicted this morning, there is good news of great joy. I hope you don't just feel beaten up this morning, because there is wonderful news of love and forgiveness. See, Jesus alone is not a hypocrite, and he can rescue me. He lived the perfect life for us. He lived the perfect life for us. He died for the punishment of all our hypocritical guilt and shame. He rose to give us eternal life, beloved life with God now and forever, not because of our performance, but because of his. What must we do to get eternal life? We can't do it, but Jesus can give it. Let us trust and follow him.